गुणान कथने श्रवणौ कथायां हस्तौ च कर्म सुमनस्तव पादयोर्नः स्मृत्यां शिरस्तव निवास जगत् प्रणामे दृष्टिस्सतां दर्शनेस्तु भवत्तनूनाम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. ओ लॉर्ड, वी प्रे दैट आवर स्पीच बी डिवोटेड टू द नरेशन ऑफ द एक्सलेंस, आवर इयर्स टू द हियरिंग ऑफ द वंडरफुल ग्लोरी, आवर हैंड्स टू द परफॉर्मेंस ऑफ द वर्क, एंड आवर माइंड्स बी एंगेज्ड इन मेडिटेशन ऑन द होली फीट. And our heads bowing down to the world, thy abode. And may our eyes be always engaged in seeing the righteous who are thy body. Om peace. Peace be within us all. Peace and harmony be amongst all beings. And peace be everywhere in nature. Good morning, Swamiji. Good morning, all of you. We have been studying the teachings of Sri Ramachandra Swami, Sri Rama, given to Shabari in the hermitage, forest hermitage where Shabari was living, eagerly waiting for Sri Rama. Sri Ramachandra gave her instructions on how to achieve pure devotion. Shabari herself did not ask for any particular boon. Sri Rama asked her to ask something, but she didn't say anything. She could ask for anything, liberation or whatever. But he decided to give instructions to her on how to achieve pure devotion. I think it was not really meant for her. She already had pure devotion to Sri Rama, otherwise Sri Rama himself would not have gone there. Through her, his teachings are meant for all of us, seekers. Just as Sri Krishna's teachings to Arjuna, though specifically made to only Arjuna on the Kurukshetra battlefield, is meant for all of us. So Sri Rama's instructions on how to achieve pure devotion is really meant for all of us to understand and practice in our own humble ways. He gave 9 instructions, and those 9 instructions are here. Many of you have copies. If you don't have copies, I will be happy to give you one. We are now studying, last time we started the 6th instruction. 6th instruction has 3 parts in it. Leading a virtuous life, Punya Jeevana. That is part A. 6th part B is practice of Yama and Niyama, which are the 2 basic foundation disciplines for all spiritual practice. Even for those who are not particularly interested in spiritual life, but want to have a peaceful, successful life of joy and fulfillment in this world, for them also these are very important disciplines. 5 disciplines of Yama and 5 disciplines of Niyama, which were studied on several occasions here, and most recently Swamiji gave a weekly discourse on Patanjali's Yoga Sutras Wednesday evenings. That we did last time, and we were in the middle of the 3rd part of the 6th instruction, 6C, daily worship. Every day we have to worship God. We'll try to understand how this worship can be done and what is meant by worship. Sri Ramachandra says, Nishtha Mutpujane Nityam. Nishtha means a firm commitment to do something with full faith and earnestness, with devotion. It can be anything. Nishtha can be to the pursuit of one's own chosen profession. Here, Mutpujane Nishtha Nityam, Matpujane Nishtha, Sri Ramachandra Swami says, we should be committed to the worship of God every day. That's all he says. Sri Ramachandra Swami gives the instructions in the briefest form, almost in the form of aphorisms, but does not give the explanation. We have to look for explanation in the writings and teachings of the saints. According to tradition, there are four kinds of worship. These four kinds we studied last time. We will quickly recapitulate them because it has been a month since we met last time. Prathama Pratima Puja. Pratima Puja means keeping a symbol or some kind of representation, representing the divine and offering worship to it and through it, through the symbol, to the divine. We have numerous symbols in Hinduism. All the various deities, gods and goddesses, their murtis, their paintings, and recently photograph. We were worshipping the photograph of Sri Ramakrishna. Now we have the beautiful statue of Sri Ramakrishna. This is all a symbol of divinity. Sri Krishna's picture, image, Ganesha's picture, image, like that. Christian people use the cross as the holy symbol. And through some symbol, sometimes people use formless reality they want to worship. They keep saligrama, a stone, which has certain marks on it. It can represent Vishnu or Shiva. These are all symbols. Keeping a symbol and offering various kinds of offerings to it through by chanting mantras with devotion, that is Pratima Puja, worship through a symbol. The second kind of worship is to chant the names and glories of God, of any aspect of the divinity, or repeating God's name or a mantra. Second worship is japastotra adi madhyama, japastotra. Stotra means chanting hymns. So many hymns are there in our very rich spiritual tradition. In Christianity also they have many, many hymns. They chant the hymns when they go to church for a service. They usually have very beautiful devotional singing. That is all praising the glories of God. There is no limit to the ways in which we can praise the glories of God, because His glories are infinite. Sometimes before our Sunday service, we chant a stanza from the Shiva Mahimna Stotram. Infinite, O Lord, are Thy glories. Even if the Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, all knowledge, if she starts writing your glories using the whole earth as the writing surface, and the ocean as the ink pot, and the celestial tree as the pen, and writes till eternity, still thy glories cannot be exhausted. Like that one shloka is there, which I sometimes chant before Sunday service. So his glories are infinite. And the particular way in which we want to chant the glory of God, the glories of God, of our chosen deity, there is no limit to that variety. Our imagination, our creativity, those are the limits. Japasto. Japa means repetition of God's name. That will come again. Sri Rama again repeats japa as another instruction. Next instruction. We'll come to that topic of japa. Stotra adi madhyama. Then the third way of worship. First is symbolic worship through a symbol. Second is chanting the names and glories of God, of any aspect of God in any way. It can be done in any language. It can be done in English, in all Indian languages. Saints have composed many, many hymns. We find hymns in the Vedic, in the Vedas, in the Upanishads, and in the Puranas and other teachings of writings of other holy people in all Indian languages and in English and other languages, European languages. Any language, any hymn that appeals to us. Then the third type of worship is going inwards and mentally worshipping. Uttama Manasi Puja. Manasi Puja means we can do the whole ritualistic worship in our minds without the use of any external paraphernalia and creating the whole scene of worship in our minds. We can install the image of the chosen deity in the lotus of our heart. We can meditate on his or her glories, and there is no limit to that one also, Leela Dhyana. Or meditation on the formless reality. That is third level. Fourth level of worship is a little bit different, quite a bit different from the three levels of worship. In these first three levels of worship, worship through a symbol, chanting the names and glories of God, and meditating on God, in these three kinds of worship, there is one something common, and that is, there is a duality, there is a sense of duality. I am the worshipper, and I am worshipping the Lord, my beloved, my chosen ideal. That separation is there. That separation marks these three kinds of worship. Sri Ramakrishna preferred that one. Though he could have remained absorbed, as Swamiji wanted to remain absorbed in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, which was discouraged by Sri Ramakrishna, we know that. Sri Ramakrishna himself could have remained in unbroken Samadhi, but he didn't want that. He wanted to come down to the plane of duality and serve worship the Holy Mother as a child. Pancha Varsha Bala Bhava Yukta Hamsa Rupinam. Like that one line is there. Swami Virajananda's hymn. He prayed to Divine Mother. Oh Divine Mother, please don't give me Brahmajnana. This Brahmajnana to those who are seeking it. For me, I just want to be like your five-year-old child playing on your lap and loving you as a child loves the mother. Thus, he preferred to maintain that duality. So was Hanuman. Hanuman also could have remained in Nirvikalpa Samadhi. He did, but he came down to the level of duality. He said, Bhava Bandha Chidetasyais Prahyami Namuktaye. When Sri Ramachandra asked Hanuman what Hanuman wants to have by way of a bone, Hanuman could have asked for anything. He says, I don't want liberation. First of all, Hanuman says what he does not want from Sri Rama. I don't want liberation. Muktaye nasprahayami. I have no desire for mukti, liberation. Why? Mukti is not something, a small thing to ask for from God. It's the highest gift you can ask for from God. Bhavabandachide muktaye nasprahayami. That liberation which will forever cut us under the entanglement in this world of duality, in this world of lack of, where joy is lacking. Anityam asukam lokam, Sri Krishna says in the Gita. He didn't want that one. Why? Why does Hanuman does not want liberation? Why did he want to remain separate from God forever? Because if that Brahmajnana is granted union, forever union, eternal union with the divine is granted, entirely effacing the individual ego, then what happens? Bhavan Prabhu Aham Dasa Iti Yatra Vilupyate. Then the duality will be lost. Right now, Hanuman is serving Sri Ramachandra as his beloved Lord. He himself considers himself as a Dasa. Aham Dasa, I am your humble servant. Hanuman would maintain that attitude. You know the six attitudes that Sri Ramakrishna describes. Attitude of a servant, serving the master. The Lord is my master, and I am his servant. I am happy to be serving all, I am happy to be doing all my work as my service to him. That attitude he preferred. Bhavan Prabhu, Aham Dasa, Iti Yatra Vilupyate. Therefore, I don't want Brahmajnana. Hanuman says, Sri Ramakrishna says same thing. Give it to those who want Brahmajnana. For me, I want to be a little child, five-year-old child, loving you as my beloved mother. That is the way, that is the spirit behind the worship that we all do. But the fourth level of worship is entirely different. There, this duality that I am the worshipper of God and God is my beloved Lord, who is the worshipped, that will entirely disappear. Soham pujottamottama, soham. The duality disappears and the worshipper and the worship, they all merge and only worship remains. Only Lord remains. I, the little I, is totally, completely merged in the He, and He alone remains. That is the fourth level of worship. Soham Pojo Uttamottama. So far we have seen those four things. Today we will consider other aspects of worship, other modes of worship. In this about the worship of God through symbols, Hindus prefer to do it. That's their preferred way. Go to a temple, you see beautiful murtis, idols. Very few people like to say, I'm Brahmasmi is not for all, though it is in the Upanishads. Sri Ramakrishna says it is not for all. But some other people, they don't like to worship God in the form of an idol, limit Him to an idol. They don't like idol worship. This debate often goes on. In the second meeting, when M. Mahendranath Gupta, the author of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, met Sri Ramakrishna in Dakshineshwar, M. had Western training, and he didn't have a clear understanding of the importance of image worship. So in the second meeting, M. was asked by Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna was preparing him, just like an expert sculptor prepares a rock from which a beautiful sculpture eventually emerges by cutting away all unnecessary portions with a few heavy, big hammer strokes. In the same way, Sri Ramakrishna, through four questions, he cut away all the unnecessary aspects of M's ego and prepared him to be the messenger of Sri Ramakrishna's message for posterity. One of the questions Sri Ramakrishna asked M was, do you believe in God with form or without form? It put M into a confusing mood. M says, how can both be true? He was all the time believing, until that time he was mostly God is without form. How can we have God have a form? How can we limit God to a form? Form is a limited thing. He was coming from that background. But that had to be corrected and clarified. And Sri Ramakrishna wanted M to be receptive to both ideas. Then he asks M a question, do you believe in God with form or without form? Then M says, I believe in, after some cogitation, M says, I believe in God without form. He came from the Brahma Samaj background. Sri Ramakrishna said, yes, it is okay. You can have that faith. But don't think that that is the only truth. God can be with form or without form, or beyond form and formlessness, both. This M had difficulty understanding. So M says, sir, supposing one believes in God with form, certainly He is not the clay image. People who worship images made of clay during Ganesh Chaturthi in India, you see, millions of clay images are made of Ganesha, and they are worshipped, and like Durga images are made in West Bengal and other parts of India where Durga worship is done during Puja, Durga Puja. Ganesha images are made. And after worshipping for several days, 7 days or 21 days or 10 days, it is the image is ceremonially taken in a procession and immersed in the nearby lake or river or sea. That's the custom. Then M was not understanding that one. He says, sir, supposing one believes in God with form, certainly He is not the clay image. God is not the clay image. Sri Ramakrishna interrupts him. But why clay? It is an image of spirit, Chinmaya Murti. This image of spirit, M did not have difficulty understanding. He needed clarification. Over a period of time, in the subsequent four and a half years of time, gradually Sri Ramakrishna corrected M's views, and M came to eventually accept, yes, God can be with form, without form, or beyond form and formlessness. God is infinite. Nobody can confine God to only this and nothing else. But sir, he says, M continues the argument. It was new to him. He said to the master, but sir, the clay image that is not God, and that while worshipping it, they should have God in view and not clay image. One should not worship clay. Then Sri Ramakrishna gave him a very big blow. It was all very nicely calculated. Nothing was random about it. Sri Ramakrishna wanted to achieve exactly what he wanted to achieve. He did it in expert fashion. He removed the unnecessary portions from M's ignorance and made him prepared him to be receptive to the teaching that was going to come in the next 4.5 years. Accord it and communicate it to posterity. That was the grand drama that was going on. M was not aware of it at that time. Gradually he became aware of it. So Sri Ramakrishna sharply interrupts him, saying, that is the one hobby of you Calcutta people, giving lectures and bringing others to Calcutta people. Mean those people, everybody, we are all in one sense Calcutta people, though we are not born in Calcutta, because those who don't have complete understanding of the reality, nobody ever stops to consider how to get himself, light himself, who are you, to teach it. Like this, the conversation goes on. That's the image, the importance of worship of the divine through the image was nicely explained to M by Sri Ramakrishna. Now, before we leave this topic of worship and go to two other different modes of worship, entirely different modes of worship, which are not in the Ramayana, but which we have to connect at this time. One more thing I have to point, which I pointed out, I think, last time. In the matter of worship, ritualistic worship, or any kind of worship, three things are very important. We have to make note of three important things. We should not miss any of those three things. First point in worship is, the worshipper, those worshippers who choose to worship God through a symbol, image or photograph or sculpture or formless symbol or something, whatever, the worshipper can choose any aspect or a form of divinity for worship. We should not say everybody should worship only Krishna image and not Rama image or Ganesha image. God cannot be confined to any one particular image. God is infinite. All are his images, actually, in the general sense. Show me one thing which is not an image of God. Again and again, our scripture says, the Lord exists pervading the entire universe through and through. There is no place where he is not. You take any form, it is his image. It may be ugly, it may be unpleasant, it may not be to a real taste. That person may not know about about the existence of God, may not believe in it. It doesn't matter. Unconditionally, behind every form, he alone exists. That is bottom line. That's one idea about the whole system of, around which the whole system of Vedanta is developed. Gita explains it very nicely in simpler language. In the 13th chapter, there is a verse which Swamiji quoted in his lecture. 27th verse in chapter 13. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram. In all the beings, without any exception, human beings, good people, bad people, male, female, young, old, etc., non-human beings, animals, plants, inanimate objects, in all of these, without any exception, across the whole of creation and in the whole of creation and in everything in it, samam tishtantam parameshwaram, the Lord is sitting there unequivocally. Unconditionally he is sitting there. I may not be aware of the presence of God within me. I may not believe in it. But he is there nevertheless. Unconditionally. So if you take that view, you can worship God in any form. Why limit him to one form and say everybody should worship only this form? That is a sign of ignorance. So that is one thing. The worshipper should have each worshipper should have the freedom to choose any image or symbol of the divinity that he wants to worship. There's no limit to that choice. Second thing important in worship is, worshippers should be convinced that the divine, the Lord himself, the ultimate reality alone is being worshipped, though the worship is offered to any image. Follows from the second. Everybody is worshipping. I am the recipient of all the worship, Sri Krishna says in the Gita. Aham hi sarva yajnana bhokta cha prabhureva cha. Whatever is offered to anything, in any form, it reaches him. He is the ultimate recipient. We will come back to this topic of how he is the ultimate recipient of everything we offer in a little bit more detail in the second part of this today's study. The third thing that is most important, which is emphasized in the Gita, is devotion is the most important thing in any kind of worship. Not mechanically doing something, going through the procedure, mind is wandering somewhere. Whether you're doing japa or meditation or ritualistic worship, you should do it with full love and devotion. Devotion. Love is the main part. We offer so many things in worship. We offer fruits and flowers and garments and incense and everything, bananas and almonds and fruits and raisins and sweets and everything. Why do we offer these things? Is it because he's lacking these things, waiting for these things? No. Offering means an expression of love. Without love, mechanically, if I offer and chant the mantras, that's not really offering at all. So whatever we offer in worship, whatever kind of worship, even if you do repeat his name silently, that has to be done with love. This Sri Krishna explains in the Gita. The Gita says, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti pahartam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Very nice sloka in the Gita. Even if you don't have many elaborate things to offer, some people can offer 64 chatushashti upachara puja, including taking the image of the Lord in a procession on the horseback and elephant's back and ratha, chariot, etc. Ashwarvadam samarpayami, ratharvadam samarpayami, gajarohanam samarpayami, like this we say the mantra. There is no horse, there is no elephant, there is no chariot, but you say the mantra. But what does it mean? It means we are expressing our love for God, our devotion in these ways. There are so many, countless number of ways in which you can express our devotion to the Lord. Just like a mother expresses her love for their child, and how many ways? Is there any limit to the number of ways in which she expresses her love for the child? Her imagination is the limit. There's no limit. So in all these things, no matter how many offerings we are offering, ingredients we are offering, how many mantras we chant, what type of symbol we are worshipping, the one most important thing that he really looks for is devotion in our heart. Bhava grahi janardhanaha. Like this, there is a sea. He's not particular about how many fruits you offer, how many sweets you offer, how many plates you offer, how many garments you offer. That's not important. It's important for us to express our devotion. For him, only one thing is important. If that one thing is missing, so many other things may be there. That's not going to be the great worship, good worship. What he looks for is only one thing from us. What he wants from us is only one thing. He doesn't want our offerings and donations and everything. He wants love from us. He searches our heart. Does this devotee has love for me in his heart or her heart? Then that worship is the best kind of worship. Without love, without devotion, mechanically for show, ostentation, I'm doing such a big Durga Puja, like that, or Ganesh Puja, like that. That is not important. So these three things are important points. First is, we can choose any aspect of the divinity for worship, and worshipper should have the freedom to choose his or her chosen aspect. And third thing is, devotion is the most important part. Now, Swami Vivekananda himself used to do very simple ritualistic worship. He was more into meditation and communicating Vedanta teaching to the world. But he did worship sometime. In the book, For Seekers of God, Teachings of Swami Sivananda, there is a description this given by Swami Sivananda himself, Mahapurush Maharaj himself, on how Swamiji used to do the worship. He says, Swami Sivananda says, Mahapurush Maharaj says, when Swamiji used to go to the temple to do worship, see, when other monks go to the worship, we chant all the mantras and so many things, Astrayapata, all those things. Swamiji didn't care for Astrayapata. He wrote in a letter, we can do it later, serve the people around you. That's real worship. We will come to that service aspect later. Service as the worship, we will come to that today. What he would do, He would do meditation for a long time. Swamiji would do meditation for a long time as a part of ritualistic worship. Though he was sitting there in front of the image to do ritualistic worship, he would meditate for a long time. After meditating for a long time, Swamiji would take handfuls of flowers and offer it to the divinity, the image which he was worshipping, Sri Ramakrishna's image he was worshipping. A handful of flowers he would offer 2-3 times, and then he would pray and he would leave the place. All the other procedures like offering the food, etc., would be done by other monks after he finished his portion. So love is the most important part in worshipping. Now that is all one kind of worship. Pratima, puja, worshipping God through a symbol, image, japa, stotra, chanting God's names and glories, singing devotion songs and doing japa, repeating God's name or mantra, manasi puja, meditation, mental worship, soham puja, I am he, maintaining that attitude. All these fall into one broad category of worship. Now besides this broad category of worship containing many different aspects, there are two other aspects of worship which I want to bring it. It's not in the text, but I think it will be incomplete. Our study of worship will be incomplete if we don't include those two kinds of worship. First is worship of God in all the human beings, in man. Worship of God in man. There are many books are like that. Like that. Swamiji Maharaj also wrote worship of God in man. That is one, the living, vibrant presence of God in the person sitting next to you. Where will you worship God? In the image, in the stone, in the image, in the temple? Swamiji asked. We'll consider that. We'll want to study that in some detail. Worship of God in man. And then extend it to other beings, non-human beings. The third kind of worship that I really want to emphasize, if we have time today, is doing all our work as worship. Worship is not something that we do for a few minutes in the temple or in the shrine room, in the puja room, in your house. Everything that we do in our waking state, from the time we get up and keep our feet on the floor until we go to bed at night, fall asleep, everything we do is worship of God. It has to be done that way. We'll come to that generalized form of worship in a little bit. Now you take the second kind mode of worship, worship of God in man. The idea of seeing the presence of God in all the beings in creation and worshipping the divine in all the beings is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam, there is a portion called Kapila Upadesha. There was a sage called Kapila. He gave this instruction in the Bhagavatam. It comes in the third canto of the Bhagavata, 29th chapter. There, I'll read the English translation from the Bhagavata. The Lord says, Kapila is quoting Bhagavan, I abide in all beings as their innermost soul. I means the Lord. Abide in all beings as the innermost soul. He is residing in all of us, the very core of our personality. The body, mind is in outer, they are outer coverings. That's not the essential part of our personality. The most essential part of our personality is the presence of the Lord within us. The Lord says, I abide in all beings as their innermost soul. Disregarding my presence within them, within the beings, disregarding God's presence in all the beings, men make a show of worshipping me through images. Big show about building huge temples, billions of dollars worth of temples, huge buildings, elaborate buildings, and images and marble, this and that, and gold. You make a big fuss about worshipping God to image. What about the living presence of God in the person next to you, sitting next to you? I went to a Hindu temple recently, and they asked me to speak about Swami Vivekananda's message. So I mentioned what Swamiji feels about the worship of God. That will come to it in a little bit. Swamiji wrote a poem called The Living God, which Swami Atmagyanji nicely explained it in a Sunday lecture. So he, Swamiji, says, where do you look for God, presence of God? In the image, you go to huge elaborate temples, multi-million dollar structures and decoration and gold ornaments and crowns made of gold and embedded with diamonds and all those things. Why don't you see the presence of God, living presence of God in the beings next to you? Swamiji said like that. I was giving that talk in the auditorium in that Hindu temple recently, 2 weeks ago. Then after the lecture, I went upstairs to do the darshan. Nice image, big Hindu temple. And one of the organizers, maybe member of board of trustees, he was making an announcement on the public address system. I was there. The announcement was, the management of the temple have decided to offer to the image was already bedecked with so many ornaments and gold and diamond and everything. Already it was there. They wanted to offer a golden necklace to the image, the necklace made up of 1,000 golden coins. And he was asking people to sponsor 1 or 2 or 3 coins in their name or father's name or child's name. 1,000 gold coins will be acquired, they'll be made into a huge necklace and will be offered to the Lord. And then you can buy one coin if you want, depending upon how much you can afford, you can buy 5 coins. And your name will be there, and that is the offering to God. Right then, 5 minutes before, in the auditorium, I gave a big lecture, thinking what Swamiji says about real worship. And then when I go upstairs, and this is what they mean. And in that temple, there is a chariot, which is used 3 times a year to go take the deity around the temple road, which has 13.5 kilos of gold-plated chariot. The person who was taking us round explained that one. 25, 26 pounds of gold. We do that as worship. And when the person next to me is suffering, is hungry, or needs some help, I'm not seeing the presence of God in that person. That is not true worship. Swamiji gave the correct interpretation of worship. So this Bhagavata, Swamiji's, this idea was not new, though he made us aware of it, gave that message to us. It was already there in the ancient scripture, Bhagavata. I'll read the quotation from Bhagavata. I abide in all beings as their innermost soul, disregarding my presence within them. Men make a show of worshipping me through images. If one disregards me present in all their soul, as their soul, but ignorantly worship only me through images, such worship is as ineffective as sacrificial offerings made in ashes. So you're merely doing symbolic ritualistic worship and not showing any consideration for the beings around us, that's not real worship. It continues, Bhagavata continues. A man who persecutes me, residing in others, who is proud and haughty, who looks upon God as the other, such a person will never attain to peace of mind. Great show of devotion, sponsoring 5 gold coins in that necklace, going home and not being nice to the person in the family. What kind of worship is that? What kind of devotion is that? See what Bhagavata says, what Swamiji says. If a man disregards and persecutes fellow beings, but worships me in images with numerous rituals and rich offerings, I am not at all pleased with him for proffering such a worship. The Lord is saying, a man should, however, worship me in images, side by side with discharging his duties. Neglecting our duties, we can't say I'm meditating, I don't want to go to work today. That won't work. Which include the love of all beings, until he actually realizes my presence in himself and in all the beings. As long as a man is self-centered and makes an absolute distinction between himself and others, without recognizing the unity of all in me, the inner pervader, he will be subject to the great fear of death, including every form of deprivation of self-interest. So, overcoming the separativeness of a self-centered life, one should serve all beings with gifts, honor, and love, recognizing that such service is really being rendered to me, who resides in all the beings as their innermost soul. And then the Bhagavata, there is one shloka which Swami Bhashyanandaji quoted in one of his lectures. It is stuck in my mind. Athamam sarveshu bhuteshu, aham sarveshu bhuteshu, bhutatmanam sitalayam, arhaye danamanabhyam, maitriya abhinnena chakshusha. Athamam sarveshu bhuteshu, bhutatmanam kritalayam. The Lord is saying, in all the beings, no distinction between human beings, animal beings, men, women, etc. In all the beings, sarveshu bhuteshu, mam sthitam. I am present. Worshipping me, arhayet danamanabhyam. How to worship me? By giving gifts and showing respect. Worshipping in the temple, but not showing respect to the person next to you, living with you in the family, that's not real worship at all. Arhaye dhanamanabhyam maitriya abhinnena chakshusha. Without any distinction, without any bheda, with friendliness towards all, with charity towards all and malice towards none. That is the true spirit of worship. So worshipping God in man is better, or at least as good as, if not better than, worshipping God in images. Swami Vivekananda expressed similar ideas in his lectures. I'll read a passage from Swamiji's address which he gave at the Rameshwaram temple. When he went back from his western trip back to India, he was given reception in all the places starting from Colombo, and in a series of lectures from Colombo to Almora, in one lecture he said like this in Rameshwaram. Swamiji's words: this is the gist of all worship, to be pure and to do good to others. He who sees Shiva in the poor, in the weak, and in the deceased really worships Shiva. And if he sees Shiva only in the image, his worship is but preliminary. He who has served and helped one poor man, seeing Shiva in him, without thinking of his caste or creed or race or anything, with him Shiva is more pleased than with the man who sees him only in temples. That is real worship. This is no doubt worship. This, I'm not putting down ritualistic worship. Swami Sri Ramakrishna did only ritualistic worship. What kind of worship Sri Ramakrishna did? Ritualistic worship. You are not decreasing the importance of ritualistic worship. But this is another kind of worship, which we can all do, which we all have to do. In addition to that, in addition to ritualistic worship, we have to serve the fellow beings around us. Swamiji has eloquently and forcibly captured all these ideas in his own poem, in his poem, The Living God. Swami Atmagyanji nicely explained that poem in a Sunday service, but I'm going to simply read the poem from the complete works. The Living God. He who is in you and outside you, who works through all hands, who walks on all feet, whose body are all ye, him worship and break all other idols. He who is at once the high and low, the sinner and the saint, both God and worm, him worship, visible, knowable, real, omnipresent, break all other idols. In whom is neither past life, nor future birth, nor death, in whom we always have been and always shall be one, him worship, break all other idols. Ye fools, who neglect the living God and his infinite reflections in with which the world is full, while you run after imaginary shadows, that lead alone to fights and quarrels, him worship, the only visible, break all other idols. That is the essence of worship. Disregarding the living, vibrant presence of God in all the beings, unconditionally, and only seeing his presence in the images and temples, that is not real worship at all. This is worship. Both have to be done. That is second aspect of worship. Ritualistic worship of various kinds, serving fellow beings is another worship. Now I want to add one more third kind of worship, which is even more all-encompassing. Work as worship. Any work that we do. Bhagavad Gita says this one. Swakarmana atamabhyarcha siddhyam vindati manavah. I'm not tired of bringing that line again and again. Sloka, verse 46, second line in the 18th chapter. If you do all our work as worship, as Sri Krishna says again and again, do everything as worship, then you are always worshipping God. Whole life becomes an unbroken stream of worship. You don't have to be a qualified priest to do worship in a temple. I will not have time to complete this. This is one of the important things with which I am greatly impressed. I wanted to come back to this topic next time when the opportunity comes. Whatever work we are doing, you can be in a very respectable profession, such as a practicing medical doctor, a professor, a scientist, a scholar, or a other profession, service profession like airline pilot or manager or resident. Or you can be a gardener or a bus driver or a taxi cab driver or janitor. Or you can be, quote unquote, just a housewife cooking, cleaning, doing laundry, driving children to school. That's not my expression, it is. Whatever we are doing something right. As long as it is pure action, as long as it is not prohibited action, it is worship of God. Every breath we take is a worship of God. Every morsel of food we take is a worship of God. Every word of water is a worship of God. Every step I take is a worship of God. What is not worship of God? Shankaracharya captures this in a very nicely, in one line. Yadyat karma karomi tattad akhilam shambhu tavaradhanam. O Lord Shambhu, whatever work I do, by thought, word or speech, please accept all that as my humble worship of you. That is another kind of worship. Everybody can do, everybody is doing, but only you have to think it is worship of God. Next time when the opportunity comes by the grace of God, I want to dwell on this. When you give a cup of water to a thirsty dog, when you pour a pitcher full of water to a dry plant in your backyard or the garden, when you remove a stone as an obstacle from the path on people walk, when you give a ride to a sick person to the hospital or bring medicine to a hungry, when you do all these things, it's all worship of God. When you're not worshiping God, Nidra Samadhi Stiti Shankara, even when you are asleep, it's also a kind of worship because it is you are in Samadhi. You are always worshipping. I want to dwell on this a little bit more next time.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Makaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om, may all be happy, may all be free from afflictions, may all realize what is noble and auspicious, may no one be subject to misery. Om peace. Peace be within us all, peace and harmony be amongst all beings, and peace be everywhere in nature. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.